Good morning. You can have your eyes open for just a second. When I was in Peru last week, this kind of image of a Trinity came to my mind in this deep meditative state. So we're going to kind of play with this with a little mudra and some sound. So it's going to be kind of like this. We're going to have our hands here for the me part, just honoring our human experience, this illusion of individuality. And then we're going to have the hands kind of open with the we part, kind of connecting to all the other me's. And then the last part, we'll bring our hands either to a prayer, if you're comfortable, or back to the heart for the one. Me, we, one. So let's start with the hands on the heart. And we're going to do a humming bee sound with this three times, which means the mouth is closed, and just going to do a nice soothing humming sound, okay? So just honoring your human experience. So take a deep in-breath, and with the mouth closed, beautiful inhale. Come out a little bit, honoring the other members of our global community here. The we part, we're going to do open mouth, So take an in-breath. Human family. And then you can bring the hands either to a prayer or back over the heart for the, we'll do three ohms with the one. The ultimate reality is there, of course, there's no me or we, but just one. So we'll do three regular ohms here. Take a deep in breath. Om. Beautiful. Two more in breath. Let your hands rest anywhere they're comfortable. Just feel the mystery, the marvel at the mystery of this kind of a trinity of your individual experience connected to everyone else, and inevitably you are everyone else. There's only one. And just kind of rest in the assurance that you are love and you are so loved. You cannot do anything to lose that love. Let the mind finally rest. Let the body relax. And feel the truth that you are eternally safe. You cannot be hurt. And just kind of ask your heart, am I really that beautiful? Am I really that loved? Am I really that safe? Let's see what you hear. Mm. ask Spirit to help you clear the programming, the beliefs that you have to work really hard, that you have to struggle, that you're not quite there yet, that you haven't quite earned it, you're not quite good enough. Just kind of breathe and maybe even smile at the amusing beliefs we take on. Just ask Spirit to remind you now and in the future always of how amazing, how beautiful you are, how held you are, how watched out for you are. Then we'll just do about a minute of melting snow breath, where you just let the in-breath be nice and deep, but the out-breath be even deeper. Nice, long, relaxing, releasing out-breath, releasing some of the programming and conditioning, which in itself is beautiful, but it might be a good day to soften, release some of that. Big in-breath, even bigger, longer out-breath. Relax face, relax shoulders. See yourself as that beautiful inner child. Wow. Thank you, Andrea. Wow. Maybe we should skip the talk and just do a couple more songs. That was good. It's such a mystery, huh? Sound and music. It's so beautiful, huh? While we were giving hugs, Lonnie said, go up there and give him heck. So I'm going to give you some heck. Whatever that means. We were in Peru for 3 weeks. We got home 3 days ago. And I bought a necklace down there. Liz bought it for me. It's called the Pachamama design or necklace. Pachamama is the term they use in Latin America or South America for Gaia, Mother Earth. So this is the Pachamama. I heard while I was down there they have a Pachapapa too. I didn't know that. Pachapapa. Makes sense, but so Father Sky, Mother Earth. So happy Earth Day. I was tempted to switch the topic because of the, is that a word? Profundity? Is that the word? How profound the Peruvian experience was. Liz and I went down there with a group of people and had a retreat, and then we stayed extra for some healing ceremonies and things. And wow, I'm gonna stick to the program. And I put a proposal in last night for maybe doing a workshop here about our experience. One of the reasons that I'm not to talk about it is the last healing ceremony we did down there was so powerful. They asked us not to talk for 2 weeks about it because it was so delicate. There's so much integration. It was probably the most profound experience in my life. So powerful. Wow. Every time you think you got this life or world figured out, something comes along and says, not quite. There's much more. Wow. So beautiful. So the official topic of the day is making peace with paradox. About 3 months ago, maybe, I spoke about making peace with polarity. I don't know if some of you remember that. So this is kind of similar, maybe to review that topic. Making peace with polarity is basically just the idea of kind of a radical inclusivity, because I think in the deepest sense, am I doing too much popping or anything? No? pick it out a little bit, maybe. Yeah, okay. In the deepest sense, I don't think there is any polarity. I'm not sure, but it seems like in the deepest sense. But we've certainly come into or created a world that has a lot of duality, and at least the appearance of duality and polarity. So the idea, what I talked about a few months ago, is to integrate and make peace with all the edges of our polarities. Instead of a right wing or left wing, it's like, oh, let's get together and talk. Or the one I didn't talk about much at that time was the amazing range of emotions we have that we don't integrate. We often live in a very small, I think the middle way is the way, but an inclusive middle way where we sometimes don't allow this range of our emotions, the fear, hate, rage, or grief. We kind of, I don't want that, but some of us don't allow the joy and the bliss. Ooh, hit a hot spot. So we kind of tend to live in a little small container. So again, integrating all that range of emotions. So that's kind of what I talked about last time. Jack Kornfield said, we can open to the world. It's 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. So instead of, I want this, don't want that. And then here's another one from some of you met my friend Judy, who comes over from Port Angeles. She'll be here again in June. She channels Jesus, if you believe that sort of thing. And this is from her book, Channeling Jesus, who says, apparently, even a reality such as your present one, which has a collective consciousness based in the belief of duality, of good and evil, opposites and threats, can be and will be transformed as you live from the space of the interdimensional you. So we get in line with our true self and we make peace with all that apparent duality, right? So, but that was then. Now we're going to tweak it just a little bit, making peace with paradox, which is kind of similar. Do you guys know what that means? Paradox is kind of a truth within apparent contradiction, or at least perceived contradiction. There's actually truth within that. And the mind hates this stuff. The mind likes to box things up and grab hold of a belief or an idea or an opinion and just run with that, right? This is my way of doing it. So in the spiritual world, I think what seems to me, the older I get, it seems like everything's paradox, you know? There's at least an element of it in so many things, huh? I see a couple heads nodding that there's actually, this is true, but the supposed opposite has some truth to it, or maybe full truth. That makes sense? One more thing's popping into my head before I get into the paradox more. The idea with the making peace with polarity as well is, instead of being a Christian, be a Christ. Instead of being a Buddhist, be a Buddha. You see the difference? Instead of like, I'm a Buddhist, you know. Once we cling to something like that, we kind of get ourselves painted into a corner. But instead, open, you know. So the paradox. Let's see. I'm going to kind of share a bunch of potential paradoxes. Maybe we'll see this as a pop quiz here. You can tell me if this makes sense to you. But before that, let me see. Anything else I want to say? Oh, yeah. You can say that there's a deepest reality of truth, and then there's a small r temporary reality, a relative reality. Maybe, for example, is a rabbit big or small? An elephant says, look at that little rabbit. An ant says, look at that big rabbit. So again, the rabbit is big and small depending on your relative perspective or size. That's one example. So let's see. Let's jump into some examples here. How about this one? There's only one truth, or there are many truths. Probably yes, don't you think? There's probably ultimately one truth, but you think of like in the Yoga Sutras, they talk about ahimsa, nonviolence, and satya, truth. And they talk about, you know, this is the way, kind of, such as nonviolence. There's, of course, different opinions on that. But is it okay to be violent if someone is attacking your child or being forceful? The mamas are going to go, oh, yeah. Even the papas, right? So who can say no? Never, violence is not okay, right? And truth, say you're in maybe an example, Nazi Germany, right? And someone knocks on your door and asks you if you're hiding anybody or if you've seen anybody. Is it okay to lie? Our heart knows, right? Once we clear the heart knows when to be this or that, and there's no right or wrong about it. It's like, boom, right? So that's one example. How about this one? You are perfect as you are imperfect. Or there's nothing wrong with me, or there's something wrong with me. Both, right? Both. And there's just, this came to me in that beautiful thing last Monday night, that beautiful healing ceremony. It was so clear that there's just all beautiful. So beautiful. All the little, quote, mistakes we make, right? It's all perfect. And as humans, we've got some challenges, huh? We've been programmed and we've bought into so much stuff. So there's some healing that can be done, right? We can be more perfect, I guess you can say. Or one way to tie this in with the last comment I made about one truth, what do some of the gurus do, right? When someone comes to them, they'll often give a different answer to this person and to that person. Does that mean they forgot what they said or they're confused? This person needed this person needed that. This beautiful example from our teacher in India, Sri Bhagavan, I wasn't there, but one person came to him and said, Sri Bhagavan, who am I? And Bhagavan said, you are God embodied, you are pure light. And I'm paraphrasing, something like that, right? That's what he needed to hear. The next person some other time came to him and said, Sri Bhagavan, who am I? And he said, you are a cesspool. You are a garbage dump. And he went on and on and on. And the guy was like, so I guess that person might have had maybe an inflated ego or some arrogance or something. I don't know. I'm guessing, but he needed to hear something different, right? Not a mistake, right? Both true for that person, right? Let's see what else we got here. You know everything, you don't know anything. I think both are true again. In my view, we have access to the Akashic Records with all the truth. On some level, we probably know it right now. At least part of us does. But we are pretty confused. There's so much we don't know. And at this time on Earth, with all the shift going on and the light coming in and the secrets getting brought to the surface, we're seeing how much we didn't know, and we're learning more and more, remembering, right? Does that make sense? Rumi, I've talked about Rumi before, you know, who says, sell your cleverness and buy bewilderment. There's really beauty in not knowing, right? There's beauty in saying, well, as a human being, maybe I'm not seeing the whole picture, right? Doesn't that make sense? A little humility. Okay. And here's a quote from Lao Tzu that kind of ties in. To be empty is to be full. To have little is to possess. Another paradox. So here's another one. We should go within for answers. We should look within for our answers. We should look outside for answers. This one seems kind of obvious, right? Of course we look within, but have you ever been lost? Have you ever been confused? Like, this is the point of a hopefully clear guru or teacher that can say, you know, here's something you're not seeing. You're a cesspool, or no, you're God. Right? So both can be true, depending on where you're at, right? How confused you are. Yeah, what is that? Adyashanti talks about that. He says, when you, as a teacher, the point at first is to take away the autonomy of the student if they're a little bit lost, but get it back to them as soon as possible, right? Because if someone like comes to my yoga class and they think they know it all and they're just doing all these crazy, unsafe things, you know, I got to kind of get their attention and say, wait a minute, you know, that's not helpful or healthy. But as soon as possible, once they get that, get them in touch with their own truth, invite them to take command, their autonomy back. Does that make sense? Okay. How about another one? Life is struggle and suffering, or heaven is here now? Again, yes, yes, yes. As the Buddha said, life is suffering, you know. If you get into this land of duality, it can be tremendously challenging and painful. But heaven is never far away. If a teacher says, yeah, it'll take you 7 lifetimes before you'll get there, it's like, it's right here. It could be one breath, right? Okay, how about, it's a touchy one. We need more feminine energy on the planet, or we need more masculine energy on the planet. I'm not going to go there. No. The point I was trying to make is kind of like in Central America or Latin America last week, they were talking about the prophecies of the condor and the eagle. If you heard about that, the eagle represents the masculine north, and the condor, which is actually making a comeback, near extinction it was, represents the feminine coming back. So what we need is healthy masculine and healthy feminine, right, for balance, right? We could go into that a little more, but I think we'll leave it at that. How about a few more here? How about we should focus on the love and the joy and get past the grief and pain, or no, we should focus on the grief and pain? This is the center for positive living here, right? We're gonna say the first one more likely, right? Focus on the joy and the love and all that. But I heard somebody say the correct spiritual bypass, you know, some say you shouldn't take the spiritual bypass. It's all love, it's all light, and not look at your stuff. But some say go there first, but then look at your stuff. Take spirit by the hand. Take the joy and the love into your stuff. Does that make sense? And you could also look at it this way, that there's times where it's best just to focus on, like, maybe that quote with Bhagavan, wow, I am love and light. I need that right now. And there's other times it's like, yes, I'm that, but I also am sitting on a big chunk of grief or fear and stuff, so I need to sit with that. Rumi talks a lot about that, right? Rumi goes back and forth with the paradox a lot, the Sufi poet Rumi. He often talks about, like, the guest house. Welcome it all in. Bring it in. He says, where's the quote here? The cure for pain is in the pain, being with the pain. But then, on the other side, he says, you've been interested in your shadow, now look directly at the sun. So they're both true again, depending on where you're at and what you need, right? Or both at the same time. Take that love into the grief, not like, oh, I want to get rid of that grief. It's like, yeah, there's room in my kingdom for everything, right? Beautiful. A couple more here. I'm a victim. I created all. Uh-oh. So in a human sense, In a human sense, we've all apparently been victimized, right? I've had a lot of cars and wheels and tape decks stolen. But am I a victim? It sure looks that way. But in the deepest sense, I do think we create it all, right? We attract it all for some experience or learning, right? But we don't have to agree with anything I'm saying. You could try believing you're a victim for the rest of your life and see how that works out. How about another one here? I'm not safe. I cannot be hurt. I'm not safe. I am safe. In a human sense, there could be an earthquake. This building could collapse right now, right? We know that, right? It can happen so quick. And can any of you really be hurt? The real you? Why are we so afraid then? We do get so afraid, don't we? Because we identify with this mini-me. Here's St. Francis. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Another paradox, huh? Okay, here's a couple more. Two more. This is a big one. We could spend some time on this one. Drugs are good, drugs are bad. Ooh. How about, just to narrow it down, talk about prescription drugs. They're both, right? They've saved lives and relieve suffering, and they have lots of side effects, and they can be addictive and can lead us down a rabbit hole, right? So prescription drugs. There's other drugs you can go back and forth. We were in Peru last week. You get in the airport, they got bowls everywhere you go. In the airport right away, bowls of coca leaves. Coca, bad, right? Everybody uses them. Got minerals and all kinds of vitamins. They adjust you to the altitude, give you a little bit of energy without being addictive. Tweak it a little bit into cocaine, maybe not so good, right? Okay, one more. I can do anything. I can't do anything. This came so clear to me. I was in this powerful healing ceremony last Monday. I said I wouldn't talk much about it, but I just mentioned one other thing. And spirit is so amusing. I was going through a deep, it was a two-day thing, actually, two nights, and I got very cold during the ceremony. And the messages, the clarity was coming through like I've never had it in my entire life. But and sometimes in amusing ways like this, I went to put my jacket on the first night. I couldn't get it on. I tried again. I couldn't get it on. So I was like, that's very interesting. So the next night, I got cold. I tried to put it on 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 times. I mean, turning every which way. It was dark in the room. We weren't supposed to make too much noise. I was just like giggling. I was like, and I finally got it. It was like, I can't do anything. I can't put my own jacket on unless something else helps me, my bigger self, whatever you want to call it. I could not. I never got my jacket on in 2 nights. And it was like, you get it now? Because I've been, like many of us, right, forcing and making my life happen the whole way, thinking it was me, right? This retreat down there went so well, and I finally realized, I think I got some help leading this retreat. I was like, yeah, I set up such a cool retreat, man. Things are going so great. It's like, no, I'd never even been to Peru. I don't know anything, but everything went, whew. So there was something else doing it, right? It's not to say that we're not involved. We're the face, the hands, the mouth, the tongue of the divine, right? But it ain't going to be worth much without spirit coming through it. It's like, you ever see a dead body without spirit alive in it? It's like, it doesn't do much. So anyway, it was a beautiful lesson. And then the last thing, I'll just mention the quote from St. Francis, which a good segue into the collection part when we go into the money thing. St. Francis, it is in giving that we receive. Another paradox, right? The mind says, no, I give it away. It's like, well, first of all, there's no other. It's you. You're giving it to. You're giving it back to yourself. We're so amusing, aren't we? Anyway, I think that's about all I have for today. Thank you. It's good to see you all. Blessing. Thank you.